Thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie, we bring you Business Bites. The best bits of that great business show served up in individual servings.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
From episode 121, here's Sarah Murphy of the Skerries-based Jack Murphy clothing brand. Now, shortly after the Second World War, a man called Jack Murphy founded a niche corsetry business in Skerries, Dublin. Well, we know that corsets went out of fashion, and there were the inevitable pivots with some business bumps along the road. However, the brand, called Jack Murphy, is now stocked in shops in Ireland, UK, France, Germany, Netherlands, Austria, and far beyond. And if you don't know the brand's kind of style, well, it's very tweedy in a Peaky Blinders kind of way. It's actually really lovely and very much on trend. And the business is still owned by the Murphy family, where Sarah Murphy, I'm so pleased to announce, has just told me she's just been made the CEO. Sarah Murphy, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'll have to tell my dad now.
Because the dad was, until this very moment, yeah, CEO.
Till right this minute.
What does being CEO mean? What are you in charge of?
Oh, God.
What's the business, in other words?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I suppose it's everything. It's trying to make sure everything runs, and he's been doing a very good job. We've had a lot of problems along the way, and it's a difficult thing to do, but also very, very exciting. So,
but why do you choose to do it? Because once upon a time, you were a ski instructor.
Well, no, I wasn't a ski instructor.
Oh, I thought you were a ski instructor.
No, I did ski seasons.
What do you
I
mean?
Did work in a ski school, but I was a receptionist.
Okay. You're only saying that because you're thinking that all your pals are going to be listening to this and they're going to say, she did not.
Well, I can tell you what it was in French. It was an hostess d'accueil.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. There you go.
Very posh, very posh. But for what reasons that you will explain, 4 odd years ago, you decided to get involved with the family business.
Yeah.
Now, go back to all those years ago, Second World War, your dad was in the Second World War. He was in the RAF.
Yeah.
And so your granddad.
My granddad, yeah.
And he got into corsets.
Yeah, I think, so he was a very good friend of mine, actually. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together. And he was working in the garment industry before he went to war.
But hang on a second now, you told me he did radars in the Second World War.
Yeah, he trained as a radar control person.
And then went back into the rag trade.
Yeah.
Kind of odd, but...
Yeah, went back into the rag trade. And he when he got home, he married my granny Fran, and they got married in Cabra Church, actually. So they were from Cabra and then moved out to Skerries, and he just
must
decided
have been like
to start.
The Wild West,
yeah,
back then.
I'd say so. I still find it crazy that they did business with paper and telegrams and not even phones all the time, and letters. And
God, you are young.
No, it's, I mean, I know, but it is crazy to
Let's
think
call
of
a phone.
It.
Phone? Yeah. Phone. Okay.
I'm not that young.
So your granddad chooses, as I say, to in, out, but out again into the corsetry business. Did he ever tell you why corsets, not hats? Why not jackets, coats, shoes?
He said it was kind of a niche at the time, and it wasn't. It was corsetry, but also underwear and lingerie and stuff like that. So he would have, he actually said that he went into larger women's underwear, and that,
okay,
that was a niche at the time. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, he was, he didn't really let too much out, my granddad. He was...
I bet you now, the two of you sitting there having the old chin wag, that you probably learnt an awful lot. My own dad, I remember driving along with him, and you do, by osmosis, you do pick up stuff.
Yeah, you do. I mean, my dad's quite like him in terms of they're a little bit, they keep their cards close to their chest, and I need to learn to do that a little bit better.
No, because you're now on That Great Business Show and you are now going to spill the beans entirely. I bet, how does the business work?
God, where to even start?
How big is it? How many people do you employ?
Well, we're very small now. We look like a bigger business because of how we approach the business, and we would have been a lot bigger. Maybe it was 4 years ago, but even... like the business took a big, big hit in the recession, like really, really big hit. And they did do a lot of work to combat that, and they stayed alive and did very well. But it was really dwindling over the last maybe 10-ish years.
Because it's a bloody hard business to get involved in.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I actually did a program called Going for Growth for women entrepreneurs.
We know Paula Fitzsimons so well.
She's fabulous.
She's a huge supporter of ours.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's such a wonderful program. And
it changes people's perceptions and minds and business abilities.
Yeah. Gave me so much confidence. I had Una O'Hagan as my lead entrepreneur, and the confidence I got.
Well.
Yeah.
She hasn't been on yet.
Well, now's our chance. but I found that... sorry, I forgot the question now.
I was asking about how you... Well, first of all, how you ended up there, but that you were telling me that the business had been large.
Yeah.
But it had a right smack. I mean, we're talking about the bad one. You actually had to wind up at one stage.
Yeah, and it was nearly like it had just kept dwindling. It wasn't an immediate shock because... I don't know why, actually. I don't know the full details, but realistically, fashion clothing businesses are run by the fashion world, and the fashion world is seasonal, and you have to create everything every season and new products and new colors, and that's a huge thing to undergo. Like, if you can
imagine, because you're trying to look into tomorrow all the time.
All the time.
I met Helen McLinden over the Christmas period, and she. This Christmas was telling me that she is designing for next Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what we're looking at now. So we're looking at autumn winter 20. I'm selling autumn winter 23, starting to sell this month. We've sold spring summer 23. And now
summer 23.
23,
fine,
that's
okay.
Sold. Yeah. And then we're looking to do spring summer 24. And probably in March, we'll start looking at autumn winter 24.
Wow. I mean, it is nuts.
Yeah, it's really hard to get your head around.
But I presume once you get onto the cycle, it kind of runs because you know that it's expected.
Yeah, a bit. Like, but then there's times where, like, my dad's in the design and production area, and he could come home and go, look at this amazing fabric that I'm after finding, or somebody's just sent me, and then that changes. So then you're trying to look at what products that would work in, and whether that, because that's part of it as well. It's not just, you know, it doesn't flow always. Sometimes it's trying to figure out what will work for what product. And
to explain that better, you brought in not one, but two hats with you. Because these are new to the range and we have given them a new name. You can announce the name at another time, but they are wool felt.
They're wool felt. They've been in the range for a very long time. This is a new colour, but they are a wool felt hat that look like just your standard hat, but they are nearly waterproof. We're quite particular about what we say is the functionality of our product. So this would be water resistant.
Or it's a hat.
But as a hat, yeah.
No, it's a hat. I'm telling you, it won't drive a car. It's
you're
a hat.
You're like my dad. He said, just call it a waterproof coat. I'm like, no, people need to know a little bit more information. So, they're great hats, but they crush and, like, as in...
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah. You can pop them in your suitcase. And,
well,
yeah. Yes, yeah.
Back to your business.
Yes.
Is that you went through a big, big, big bump.
Yeah.
You came back out of it. And now you are trying to expand again. But I just read out there for you that you are in outlets between Ireland, US, Canada, Japan, Denmark, Austria, Netherlands.
Yeah.
You're not that small.
No, I mean, we're like right now, we've just gone to 4 people in Ireland. Like that's our business. That's who runs it. And that includes me and my dad. So that is small. Now, we've got a great...
But everything else is outsourced, I presume.
Yeah, we've got a great team of freelancers and we work with the same people all the time. So there's a lot of people who are involved in what we do, but in terms of our employee status, I suppose. But I think what we did was, you know, when I started, it was August 2018 And I came on in like a marketing role, trying to just see what I could do. I didn't really know for sure. I've always loved clothes, and I love what it makes you feel. And when you can, like today, I went and got dressed for this. You know what I mean? Like, I like that.
Dressed for radio. Love yeah. it. Old fashioned.
Yeah. I think it's kind of important.
Do you know that on the BBC, back in the day, that the newsreaders used to put on their dicky bows?
Did they?
I promise
before
you.
Before they read the news?
To read the news.
Wow.
It was a very formal thing.
Yeah.
So you are almost formal.
Almost
formal.
To come
formal. On to Ireland's Best Business Podcast.
Yes.
So thank you very much for that. Please, I go down little rabbit holes, so I've got you off on another tangent. Back to your business. I'm very good to be back in studio again after Christmas.
But that's where it comes, that's where it kind of comes from, I suppose. Like, my granny was a big influence on me as well, Fran, and she always got dressed for the day. And even when she was, I remember when she was sick one time, she was in convalescence, she was getting better, and I called in to see her, and she said, with great pride, she said, I put my shoes on today. And I thought that was really quite cathartic. Do you know, like, that's something that's really important to people, and it makes you feel a certain way when you dress a certain way. So that's something that I'm really quite interested in, and I love that that's what our clothes do for people as well.
And your clothes, being the Jack Murphy brand, you have, how do you difference? How do you sit there? Do you sit there, or does your dad sit there saying, we've got to make it look different to Hackett, or different to Polo Ralph Lauren, or different to what? Who do you compare yourselves with?
We would look at Ralph Lauren as a pinnacle, like what they've done in his lifetime as well. You know, like, that's quite a short business span to have done what they've done. They're a great marker to look at. Patagonia, really, really interesting what they've done in terms of their waterproofing, and that's something that we're very interested in. Trying to think of, Barber are quite interesting in terms of their wax. They've changed it up quite a lot in the last couple of years, but it's, I don't know if my dad would agree with me on this, but
you're the CEO now. He's history. Tell him.
He'll love to hear this. But no, I think there's a certain amount you can do looking outwards and seeing what everybody else is doing. And then realistically, you've got to come back and think of who we are and what it means to us and what it means to the brand and the business, you know.
Now, there's another, you were referring there to other firms. I remember listening to the dad of the Pratts, who were, they used
Avoca.
To own the Avoca.
Mm-hmm.
And he was being interviewed by Pat Kenny, and I just heard one thing that I found really, really interesting. There was one of the huge Italian brands, you know, the one with all the colors, what do you call it? Whatever. They had, when it was being interviewed by Pat Kenny, they had something like 800 outlets. And Mr. Pratt Sr. said they started almost on the same day and they had something like 8 outlets versus 800 for the Italian one. And he said it was lack of capital, access to capital.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, to grow, you have to have very deep pockets to get the product out there.
Yeah, and not even just to get it out there, but to actually bring it through its life cycle. You know, this is what we want to do. How long is it going to take? You know, you've got to make samples. You've got to get lengths of fabric. You've got to get trims. You know, there's a lot of work involved in actually the final product, you know, and what it looks like. And then sometimes things happen, like, I can't even remember if it's recent or not, but like sometimes a trim won't come and you'll go, okay, well, let's see what it looks like now. And sometimes that works, you know. It's not always, that's kind of what I like about this business. It's a little bit chaotic at times.
All businesses, no matter what, are a bit chaotic. And it's correctly say, no trim, we'll make it fit or whatever. So what is your ambition now that you're the CEO?
I'm the CEO. My friends slag me about this. I say, I want to go global.
But maybe you do.
Yeah.
You look at, what is it, Sculpted by Amy.
Yes.
Amy Connolly.
Yes.
She has gone global. She was in with us about 2 years ago here. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Always just drops, the jaw drops when I think of what she's doing.
Yes, definitely.
There's no reason why you would not go global. Yeah. And Paula Fitzsimons has also taught you that.
Yeah.
On Going for Growth, because she's not interested in people who don't want to go
global. No, definitely
not. So she's actually on your back.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's such an amazing program. I think it's that weird thing that Irish people sometimes have, that you're like, do I go for it or can I go for it? And like that kind of doubt. And when...
Do you know that the younger people have no doubt like that at all?
Yeah.
It's just
global. I'd love that.
Well, you can learn it.
Yeah, I'm trying.
And Paula Fitzsimons will kick it into you anyway. Yeah. So let us say, honestly, would you love to be a global brand?
Yeah, but I mean, I would like to be a global brand, but sustainably. And I think that sustainable...
Well, that goes without saying nowadays, doesn't
yeah,
it? You're not going to do it without being sustainable.
But I think it's about sustainable growth as well. You know, you shouldn't take on any retailer or, you know, that's not what we are. You know, we need to make sure that the people that we're selling into, who are stockists, actually match our values, or there's something that works. You know, I think it's one thing that in the beginning when I started in with Jack Murphy, I just thought like you could throw everything at it and it would all work. And I quickly learned that doesn't always work.
There are many other competitors.
Many competitors, but also I think if you get really, really, really strong in what your business means and who you are, and I mean that with me and my dad and our family and what we want this business to represent, then I think you can start to grow. So I feel like we're still very much settling out of a very, very tumultuous period, and now we're getting, you know, the foundations laid and want to get into growing, but not growing to the point where you can't manage it and the point where, you know, do you know what I mean?
If you go global, you will have 3,000 or 30,000 or 300,000 people working for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, if you're cool with that, that's fine.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I suppose you would have to.
What is it like working in a family business? Does it ever stop when you go and meet your dad, whether it's for a cup of coffee or whether, I don't know, whether you live at home or whatever, but does the business always come up, bubble up, and you have a chat about it? You're watching TV, he says, that's a nice jacket.
Yeah, like that would happen a lot. Like you would talk about things like that quite a lot. But with particularly my brother as well, but... we did try and make a rule in the beginning because I was getting very stressed about all the conversations about work. And now we are quite good about, you know, when we're home, we're home. Because it's not really fair either on everybody else. You know, if we're both talking about something that they don't really have anything to do with, you know what I mean? So there is a little bit of crossover, and it is definitely not easy to be in a family business. But on the flip side of that,
That was a ready-made business for you.
It was a ready-made, well, that's true, definitely. But also, we both want the same things for the business. We just sometimes go about it slightly different ways.
So. Which is what human life is as well. So what can Team GBS, that's our lovely listeners, what could they do for you? Because, like, you are not in all shops in Ireland, for example.
No, we're not. We're not all around Ireland. We used to be. We used to be in a lot more shops. I suppose it's... have a look and see if it's something that people like. And
it is lovely. I mean, I'm not just saying that. It's the colours. It's all very tweedy in a nice way, but not in an old-fashioned way.
No, and actually one thing that we've been discussing recently is, like, traditionally clothing was bought to last and it was bought to be mended and embellished and altered and passed on. And then, you know, that's what I think is really, really special about clothing, is that you can do that. Like, I'm wearing my granny scarf today, and, you know, that's something that is something that I hope that Jack Murphy will do for all of our customers, you know, that they can have
it's
that.
It's a nice aspiration, but of course, every family, junior members of families will hate you because hand-me-downs.
Yeah, well, I suppose it works because I'm the oldest, so well, maybe that's what it is.
So go out, have a look. Jack Murphy is the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously it'll be a brand close to you very, very soon. Yeah. What can you do in terms of your 1 year, 2 years, 3 years hence? What will you be doing?
I hope to have a very big mark on the domestic market. So I hope to be in quite a lot of stockists here. And I would imagine that our European, specifically certain countries in Europe, and our North American market will have expanded quite considerably. So that's
you had been in Kilkenny Design. You would like to get back into Kilkenny Design.
Yeah.
Evelyn Moynihan is an avid listener to the podcast because she was on with us. And we'll ask Evelyn whether she'll have a chat with you.
Yes, that would be fabulous.
Because they are so supportive.
Oh, they're fabulous.
Irish
they're a fabulous
product.
Company. Yep. Yeah, they really are. And, you know, we get very excited about being that part of that. Like we're hoping to be in Dublin Airport soon and being part of that Irish contingent, because a lot of people think of Irish product as not what it actually is. Like, we are a modern company and yes, it's heritage, but it's contemporary, you know? So it's very exciting. And
now, did you read the email that you were sent?
Yes.
So you do know what the final question is.
Yes, and I feel like I've forgotten my answer.
That'll be a first. I've had two refusals of people saying, I won't tell you. And I had to kick them out, or I had to kick it out of them. Who would Sarah Murphy, the new CEO of Jack Murphy, hire in a heartbeat?
I have a few. I think
you're allowed to have a few.
Yeah. I think Yvonne Chouard, if I'm saying his name properly, from Patagonia, is phenomenal at sticking to his values and believing in what he was doing. And it's really kind of like the antithesis to business, really, is what he's done.
Hasn't he just made his company
into
giving it away? Well, he's investing it into saving the Amazon forest or one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. Amazing. And he also is really...
Wouldn't say his kids think so.
Well, but I don't understand why people say that, you know, like, we all have to work for what we've got to get, you know.
So Mr. Patagonia is one man.
Yeah. And on a total flip side, I think that Sarah Blakely of Spanx is a marketing genius. I listened to a couple of her podcasts, and just the way she's gone about it, you know, like the pushing to get her product in and then being on the floor and selling it to customers on the floor when it's, you know.
Do you sell?
That's my area, sales and marketing. But
no, but I mean, do you actually go on the floor and sell?
I have, yeah. But I would sell to retailers.
Do you tell
now.
All women, I'm guessing that you probably sell mostly to women, is, God, that looks lovely on you.
No, I don't tell all women. I tell them when it does look lovely on them. I do, I swear.
So do you say, no.
I would
try something else.
Yeah, if somebody put something on and I didn't think that it was right for what they should, or like sometimes you'll change a colour or a shape or a length, and I think it's important, you know.
What's the split between men and women as your customers?
It's actually about 75-25.
75 women.
Which is quite unusual for our style of product.
So Peaky Blinder Etz.
Yeah.
It's lovely stuff. I really would. It is very simple. JackMurphy.ie, isn't it?
.ie, yeah, exactly.
So lovely to look at. So just if you had a chance just to look at the colours, they're really good, lovely.
Yeah, and I mean, when you feel it and try it on, one of the things we love is when people put on a coat and they like it on the hanger, and then they put it on and they go, ooh, and they get really excited, you know, and... we used to do Bloom in the Park and the RDS horse show and stuff. So I would sell with my family. You know, we were brought in when we were kids to do it when we were 15, 16. And you'd have one woman come and she tried on, and her friend would see her and they'd go, oh my God. And then you'd have five people and they'd all have different colour coats on, but they'd look fabulous, you know.
Luke Delaney, who's our sound engineer today, wants you to do that ooh thing again. He said... Ooh. Do it again.
Okay, it feels weird. They go, ooh.
On that ooh note, Sarah Murphy, that is fantastic. Please do come back when you are expanding to the world and when you're bringing Jack Murphy further to the world.
Absolutely.
Anybody who wants to find you will find you at Jack Murphy.
Yeah.
The website is sitting there. All the contact details are there.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to stalk you, talk to Sarah Murphy CEO. Sarah, lovely to have you on that great business show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
De Facto Shaving Oil, made only from natural oils. Nothing nasty on your skin.
This interview was first posted on episode 121 of that great business show. For more great business insights, listen to the entire back catalogue of that great business show.